Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that there is definitely a word from the Lord. And guess what? Today, we got the keys to the new location. Amen.
Amen.
So we're grateful that God has given us the ability to expand and to go forward. And we're asking you to keep us in prayer, amen. Definitely getting the place is one thing, but making it ready for ministry
right.
And production is something totally different. Those of you who have moved and done anything like this, you know exactly what I'm saying. So we'll just ask that you keep us in prayer. But before I go any further, let me go ahead and then turn it over to Prophetess Crystal for our announcements and for our prayer tonight.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show. So glad that you are here and joining us, amen, at this hour for another broadcast of Kingdom Lifestyles. This evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us, Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself, for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. Many of you know it is our website. We do invite you there. We have been doing some upgrades, amen. So please bear with us, but check us out and our new commercial that we have. I think you're going to be excited about what we are doing. I know we are. Amen. If any of you would like information in general concerning our church, or you would like for us to minister at any of your engagements, or you just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, as you're on our website, www.ctkr.org, go to the Contact Us page at the top of the website and click there, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you, amen, within 48 hours. Amen. Those are the announcements. Also want to let you know that we have Facebook pages. Please go to our Facebook pages and like us there. Let us know what God is doing in your life and how he is blessing you, and even how this broadcast is blessing your life as well. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you can locate us under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Amen. Those are the announcements. Now let us go into prayer, and then prepare our hearts to receive the word on tonight from my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, God, we praise your name. We glorify you. We lift your name up high. We thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace, God. And most of all, we thank you for your mercy. We now, your people, come, Lord, with our hands uplifted and our head bowed before you. God, right now, as we just settle ourselves in, we ask for forgiveness right now. We ask that you would just wash us from all sins of unrighteousness. God, make us clean in your word. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash our hearts and our minds white as snow on tonight. Even now, God, as we, your people, come, we humble ourselves at your right hand. We just have our hearts open to you, and we have our ears inclined to hear from you on tonight what you have to say to us. Father, we just begin to welcome you. We invite the presence of the Holy Spirit right where every person is right now. We just invite your presence in. We ask that you would just begin to minister to your people. Father, you know every need that is up before you in prayer, God, and we know that the word of God has the answer. Father, I'm asking now in Jesus' name that you would anoint the apostle's head, God. Give him the wisdom not to speak from his own flesh, but to speak from the Holy Spirit. God, give him the wisdom and the knowledge now to begin to open up the word and begin to give us revelation and truth by the precious Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Father, even now, those who are not saved, God, I ask that as this word goes forth, that it will begin to prick the hearts of your people, prick men's hearts and their minds, that they will begin to be drawn towards you. You said if you're lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. We ask that tonight in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, every need that is up before you, Father, be met. Those who need healing, those who are standing in the gap for others. Father, we're asking for those that need peace, joy, whatever it is that they're asking you for, God, that you will begin to make a way for your people tonight. We bless your name. We thank you and we praise you most high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. Listen, I want you all to know that God is doing something and we recognize it and we are excited about it. There are so many opportunities that he has created for us. And you have to see every test, every trial as an opportunity for you to advance. Prophetess and I were reading a few articles this past week. Amen.
Amen.
And some of the things that have been going on or allowed within the ecclesia, that is the church, have people questioning the validity of God and the power of God and the stance that the church should be taking. Where are the miracles? Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? And the thing is you have to understand that miracles, signs, and wonders are still occurring. Amen. The problem is where there is a lack of faith, there is a lack of manifestation. So when you ask the question, where are they? Amen. Mm-hmm. My question back to you is, where's your faith? Jesus would say it often. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. And when you don't believe and you expect me to believe for you so you can still enjoy the fruits of faith, amen,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. When we touch and agree, then we see manifestation. But our faith has to come into alignment, amen, with the word of God. So there are certain things that we have to look at. We have been dealing with 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, amen. We've gone to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, as you all understand and know. And we ended up here in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, amen.
Right.
And I want to pick up here again because I think that too often we have learned how to celebrate what we have, but
mm-hmm.
we forgot to be content with what he's given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me say that again. We've learned how to celebrate what we have, but we forgot to be content with what he's given. Amen. So let's just read a little bit here. Deuteronomy, starting at the 16th verse. Amen. Well, let's go back. Let's go back because I want to make sure that we see it. amen, clearly for what it is. Starting at the 15th verse, reading from the New King James Version, it says, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty lands. And this is where I picked up, because when we start talking about the thirst, we start talking about where there was no water.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And you're upset because you feel that at any moment in time that you begin to get something from God and it costs you to go through something, you think that it's not God. Mm-hmm. But God tests and tries us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Look at what it says here. Where there was no water. So that means you're in the place that doesn't look too appetizing. It doesn't look too comfortable. Amen?
Right.
And you have to understand that that comfort can be the enemy of your faith.
Wow.
Okay? Let me say that again. Comfort can be the enemy of your faith. Where there is lack of need, there is lack of expression of faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you got it, you're not hoping for it. So there's times where God will allow you to go into a place of need so he can provide. Thereby, he can test you, number one. Number two, he can provide for you.
Uh-huh.
You see that? So here he says, in the thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. In other words, he's going to provide for you, but it's going to be in the least, you know, it's not going to be in the way that you really thought it's going to come. You looking at it thinking it's going to come this way. You calling on this friend, calling on that friend. You talking to auntie, mama, daddy. You calling grandma and nana and pawpaw and everybody else. You calling them favorites left and right. And yet and still you can't do it. And just when you give up and say it can't be done, then here comes someone from the around the corner. You didn't even know they was back there, didn't know that they existed, and it's through their hands that God says the blessing comes.
Yeah.
This flinty rock, we understand, should not have had any type of water in it, let alone enough to satisfy the nation of Israel.
Yes.
See, when we look at the way that God does things, he does it so that he can get the glory. No one can say that they were so smart that they planned it this way when God does it. And see, that's the thing. When he does it, we have to be careful to make sure we give him all the glory. Amen? Don't take none of it for yourself. No, you wasn't smart enough. No, if it hadn't been for you, I told him that. I came around the corner. Sit down. Amen? This isn't about you. This is about God getting his glory out of your life.
Amen.
Huh? Even in this, God is going to get his glory. In this circumstance, God is going to get his glory.
Right, right.
In this situation, God is going to get his glory. And when we have that determination on the inside of us, then we can take time and make sure that we're focused on him getting the glory. Because you're not wrapped up in it. Amen? Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, want everybody to see you and celebrate you. Well, it's not. Let's get off of that me thing. Amen? Because it's not about me. It's about him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Look what it says here. 16th verse, who fed you in the wilderness with manna. Amen. An important thing to understand here is now we're looking at water that came from a flinty rock.
Right, right.
That was the most inconspicuous place it could have came from. And now here comes manna. And manna is something that was came out on the ground every morning. Now, there's something interesting about manna that we have to understand. And it is the property of what manna really is. Okay. Amen. Huh? When you see manna was this little white coriander seed looking substance that was sweet on the tongue. See, and when they got it, they didn't know exactly where it came from. They were giving instructions with it. Hear what I'm saying now. They were given instruction with it. All right? Huh? So what it is that they were not supposed to eat or take more than they needed in a day.
Correct.
I wish I had time to really work this here. Because sometimes what we do is we get and we try to get enough for today, tomorrow, the next week. You know, we want to make sure we got enough. You know, if everybody ain't got, get as much as I can, sit on the can, you know, and don't get off the can. See, you trying to hold on to it. But the properties of this manna was that if you, through the sin of gluttony or whatever, greed, if you try to take more than you were supposed to have for that day, it spoiled on you. Because every day it was a faith in God that provided for you.
Yes.
That's why we can see when David says, give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? When he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes.
Huh? When Jesus is praying, give us this day our daily bread, amen? He's going back to this manna right here. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And it is that manna that we have to understand that today God is providing for us. And don't try to figure it out for down the road. Just be glad and grateful for today.
Amen.
If God did anything for you today, give him his glory today.
Amen.
Huh? If God worked a miracle out on your behalf, then make sure today you are worshiping him. Make sure today you're trusting him. Make sure today you're testifying concerning what he's done. You know what? Every morning when you get up, it's a brand new mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. And every day that you get up, it's an opportunity for you to see what God has provided. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
For you for that day. That's why, you know, when people say, you know, when I look back over my life and see where I come from, that's wonderful. You look way back then. But can you look at this morning? Did he get you out of bed this morning?
Right.
When you open up your eyes, could you see across the room? Huh? When you got up and sat up on the side of the bed and your feet touched the ground, did you feel the ground under your feet? When you stood up, did you have strength in your body? Huh? Did your legs have strength in them?
Mm-hmm.
See, it is those type of things that we have to look at. It is so important for us to understand that what God does for us daily is the manna that he provides for us. It's interesting that the word manna is simply, the meaning of it is, what is it?
Yeah.
Exodus 16:15. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. In other words, when God is providing for you, sometimes you don't have the wherewithal to understand what God is doing for you. And thank God for spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual leaders who have the insight and understanding to see what the Spirit is doing, and they can instruct you. What you're seeing now is the move of God, and look what he's doing, so you can glorify God even as you go through the processing that God is taking you through.
Yes. Amen.
So here we see here, he says, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you with in the wilderness with manna, huh? Which your fathers did not know. Why? That he might humble you and that he might test you. All of this is just a test. It's not to destroy you. And let me go on to say it to this level. During this test, you will not succumb to the test.
Well,
he will not put more on you than you're able to bear. I like stories in the Bible. I like reading what happened with the apostles and with the disciples as they were going through their processing, especially Peter getting out the ship. You know, it's so much that's there, but you have to understand, when he stepped out of the ship, Jesus knew exactly where to be when he knew Peter's faith was going to fail.
That's very true.
He didn't have to run to him.
We didn't see where the Bible said that when Peter started looking around and he started to sink, Jesus ran to him. No, the Bible says he reached down and immediately, see, he was close enough because he knew you, huh, to know when you were going to fall. He was close enough waiting on you to say, like Peter said, Lord, save me.
There I go.
So even in your situation where you're going and you're talking about I'm on a faith walk and you're doing things and you're out in your own abilities and your own strength and you step over boundaries or your faith begins to fail because you took your eyes off of your source, which was Jesus, huh? And you start to sink in the miracle that you're walking out. He's right there waiting on you to simply acknowledge him.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a test. That he might humble you. Humble you. Why humble? Because this is nothing that you did. Mm. When you look at it, there's no way for you to claim any part of this. Huh? You knew it was not any of your wisdom, any of your intellect, your credit score, your bank account. You didn't have the right pedigree. There's nobody around you that could speak on your behalf that caused this to happen. It had to be the favor of God on your life for this to have occurred. So when you go back and you look at it, you are humbled. Humbled because God thought enough of you to allow this to be. Amen. Number two, you're tested that he might test you so that you understand that your faith is at a new level.
Uh-huh.
You see, because when your faith is being tested and you pass the test, then you know what God can do because he just did it for you. Nobody has to tell Peter that he can walk on water anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he does it again or not, he has the understanding that he walked on water before. Mm-hmm. The miracle was there. His faith is now at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We understand that through the course of his life, as he was tested, he denied Christ 3 times. But we see that he became the foundation or the cornerstone of what we look at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, upon this rock I will build my church. It was upon that faith of him failing and repenting and growing that the churches, we're not perfect, but we're being perfected.
Yes, sir.
Peter was not perfect. He was being perfected. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was being tested, you know, he had to have those things that brought him back to the understanding or the memory of what it was that he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when we look in the Bible. Let's just go over there right quick. Amen. Amen. Over to John. Amen. All right. Okay. John 21. And we just went over this a little while ago. Amen. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed Amen. Thank God we had a little electrical storm down here and knocked everything out. But God is good. Amen. Amen. Let me know if you hear me. We're going to continue on ministering this word that God has given us. Amen.
as we look here, we see then that Peter, amen, is back in his natural element. Mm-hmm. Amen. In John, the 21st chapter, amen, they're out there fishing. Mm-hmm. See, when Jesus spoke to them the first time, they were out there fishing. So every once in a while, God has to bring you back to where you were. Amen. So he can remind you of where he bought you from.
Yeah, yeah.
You see that? Huh? When you go back there, you'll understand that I was here, but now this isn't my place. We don't see them out fishing after this.
No, we don't.
They were caught from this. And after Jesus was crucified, they went back to this. But after he reveals himself here, we don't see them back at this. Amen. So as they were here, we went through this before. You can go back in our archives and listen to it and see where exactly we were with this. Amen. But he asked them about food. Do you have any food? He asked them, he told them, sixth verse, cast the net on the right side of the boat, which is interesting, huh? Because in Luke, when we go back to Luke, the fifth chapter, amen, we see Jesus speaking to them here, huh? And when he's speaking to them there, we see that he tells them to launch out into the deep. Isn't it interesting that he would tell them to do something again that they had did at the very beginning? Yeah. And remind them of the miracle, huh? Remind them of the favor and the grace of God that had brought them into the belief to begin with. Amen. So he goes here and he reminds him. Let's look at this, Luke 5, amen. Let's just see it, amen. It says, so Luke 5 and 1, so it was as the multitude pressed him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and that's a very important place, amen, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked the multitude from the boat. For first, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. See, I wish I could preach that. That would go right there. Amen. I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they filled both the boats so that they began to sing. Amen. Yes. Now you have to understand, this is the very beginning. Amen. The Bible says when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, whenever you have an encounter with Jesus, amen, it should bring about a change in your life. The problem that we have is that people are having encounters, but we're not seeing changes.
You're right about that.
You see? So what we see then is we see the word being taught. We see instruction being given. Then we see a move of faith.
And then we see miracle attached to that move. And then we see that his life was brought before him and everything that he thought he was. And he fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus didn't take him and start berating him, you know, talking about, yeah, you ain't did nothing right in your life. All this time, you lucky for you, I just thought about. No, no. That was not his assignment, and that was not his purpose. Mm-hmm. When he began to speak that, look what he says here, ninth verse. For he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And let me just say this in sidebar. When God creates a miracle and performs a miracle with you, through you, for you, it is not about you. It is always about bringing others besides yourself to him. Mm. It is a testimony of the power of God. Mm-hmm. So whenever a miracle occurs, it's not about you. Right. It's always about Jesus. Amen? It's always about God getting the glory. So he uses you so that he can demonstrate his power in the earth. Amen? Mm. You see that? So everybody, him and everybody else, was astonished at the fish they had taken. And so were also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. He ain't trying to bring just you in. He's trying to bring you and everything connected to you into the kingdom. Amen? Huh? And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now on, from now on you will catch men. So they brought their boats to land. They forsook all and followed him. Now, it's interesting when we start talking about this, that forsook all part. Some of you want to follow Jesus and do what the Lord says, but you ain't ready to let it all go. I don't know. I just, you know, I've been praying and asking God, hallelujah, if he can help me, you know, but hallelujah, I'm not ready to, you know, I just, there's a couple of things I got to, you know, I got common sense. You know, you and your common sense, I don't know how you thought for one second, for one moment, and it really shows the lack and the depravity when you think that you can think on God's level. Okay. Huh? It seems to, I got common sense. The Bible ain't ask us to do. No, you listen, you got to go through this Bible. Here he is telling him to do things, and they do it. They see the results. And their response is nothing like our response today. Now, I'm not telling you to forsake all and walk away. I'm not Christ. But you should be able to give up something for Jesus. We try to get saved and live our same life. Don't ask me to put down my vices. Don't ask me to get rid of my relationships and stuff that I know I have no Jesus. You know it's nothing. No God on that, because every time you turn around, you're fighting, screaming, hollering, the police call, everything else. You know, you have dropped how many babies and y'all ain't married yet, but yet and still you trying to be at church and serve and do it. Wait a minute, someplace along the line, you need to stop and get that stuff together. That's, if the world would know anything of Christ, it is what they see in us. And some people say, well, that sounds very judgmental. It's not judgmental. It is protocol according to the word. We become so politically correct that we become so godly wrong. Politically correct and godly wrong. How you do that? Well, God said, do it like, well, you know, we don't want people not to like.
That's true. You're right about that, Apostle.
I don't see any place where he told us to share the gospel with the world so that they like us. If anything, you have to look at what it says. Be not lovers of the world. Mm-hmm. Okay? Huh? When you talk about being a lover of the world, or if you try to be a friend of the world, you make of yourself an enemy of God. We don't want to read those because we like being friends and friendly with the world. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think there's a, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, that's why he didn't trust your vision. You see that? He didn't trust you. Because he already knew you were going to have a problem seeing what you needed to see. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn. We have to learn how to get down to the nitty-gritty and do what he called us to do. This whole thing here that we're reading, amen, and they were asked to drop their nets. And it's the same thing that they had to do before. What was that? Drop down your nets. They were out there now in John 21, amen, doing the same thing, out fishing. Huh? Third verse, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And there they go, right back to where they were. When Jesus comes and finds them, he challenges them. He said, children, do you have any food? And I shared this with those in the congregation before. You heard me say it. There were times where they were called disciples. There were times when they were called apostles. You see them called apostles when they have been given a task and they complete it successfully. They're called apostles. When they go back to the folly, huh, that was their past, then they're called disciples because they have to be disciplined. Amen? And I'll tell you, we have made discipline a bad word. But discipline is needed in the body. If we have no discipline, then everything goes. The article that Prophetess and I was reading was about how different artists, amen, mm-hmm. In gospel music have tainted
the gospel.
Yeah. And then it goes on to show and tell how they actually went about doing it. And the number of people who are involved with the deception, you know, comes out to the who's who of gospel over the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years sometime. Huh? When you go back and you find out that these people were preaching or singing about God and how holy he is and then going and having all kind of other lifestyle, living alternative lifestyles, people are confused. And today, people are confused because when you speak holiness to them, they don't know what holiness really means. So when you say, be holy, they're like, well, that sounds a little too tough. I'm going to go over here to the church where they let me do whatever I'm going to do. We kicking it or Monday,
uh-huh.
And Saturday night, you know, we got to turn in early. You know, so we can be at church on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
And some of them have even taken it to the place where they would tell you, listen, you can do whatever you're going to do. God's grace will cover you.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you bring your tithes and your offering and you good.
That's the truth.
And there's nothing in the Bible that says you can buy your way out of hell. See, we got to stop this shame of telling the truth thing that's going on. Nobody wants to hear holiness anymore.
Yeah.
Holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is the word of God. Live properly. Hello, somebody.
Sure.
So you've been running around talking about, you know, I live a good religious lifestyle. I go to church. Well, you go to church, but what about you have changed since you've been to church? Other than you attending church during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Has it challenged you in your lifestyle to change? Because Jesus didn't leave them there.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Cast out the net for a drought. And then, well, we've been out here all night. Okay, it ain't worked. Everything you've been doing has not worked. But now listen to me, and you're going to find that it's profitable for you to do so. The word of God is profitable. Amen.
Amen.
When it is heeded and obeyed.
Yes.
Amen. And you heard me talk about the blessing of obedience before. You have to understand that the blessing of obedience is exactly that.
Mm.
When we obey God, then God makes sure that we are rewarded for our obedience.
Yes.
How is he going to lead you when you refuse to be led?
Well.
How is he going to keep you when you refuse to be kept? How is he going to make a way for you when you refuse to trust in him as a way maker? See, all of this that we're talking about right here goes back to the same thing that we started out. Peter here has a revelation, if you will, that this right here is the best stuff in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he leaves his nets. Jesus asked him, Simon Peter, lovest thou me?
Okay.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, walk right back to assignment. Whenever you stray and go back, the word of God will always bring you back to a remembrance or to a realization of who you are in him and your assignment. I don't want to go back to church because they're going to talk about what I did. Nobody really worried about what you did.
Oh,
we're caring about what you're not doing. Let me say that again. No one's thinking about what you did. We care about what you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your assignment. Amen?
Amen.
Look what it says here. Deuteronomy 8. Amen. 16. They might humble you that he might test you. Why? To do you good in the end. He has to get all that mess out of you so he can, when he blesses you, it won't destroy you. It won't tear you up. You won't be sitting back, pulling your hair out, trying to figure out how you're going to make it work. This is what God does for us. Amen. And it's marvelous that he would take so much time and care with little old us. Amen. Look what it says here. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You know, after all he's done for you, you turn around and try to take the glory for yourself. God is not with that. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that people have been doing these self-fulfilling prophecies. You got $50 and you tell somebody God's going to bless somebody with $50. And then you turn around and go give somebody $50 and see, somebody just got $50. Look at what God did. And they running around talking about, woo, thank you, Jesus. Well, you already knew that you was going to give $50 to somebody. That's really not prophecy. See? Or you've already looked at the vehicle, you ran your credit and everything else. Figure out how you going to go get it. So then you go tell people, pray with me.
Ooh,
you know, funny. Because I believe that God's going to bless me with this car. And I just, you know, I feel it in my spirit. He, blah, 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 blah. Okay, there you go. Go get the car, and you pull up talking about, woo, thank you, Jesus. You know, you see this? He blessed me with. No, you just scouted out the car and everything else. See, self-fulfilling prophecies are things that you do yourself, and you try to put God's name on. Now, let me show you the flip side of what's happening here. After you get done doing it, then it's your responsibility to maintain it. Well, Lord, Lord, Lord. Because when God does anything, he does it for his glory. Amen? But when you do it so that you can look better in front of people. It has no godly assignment connected to it. This is your flesh wanting to be noticed, glorified, and patted on the back. Huh? So when it says here, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. God said, listen, since you want to do that, then you maintain that wealth. That's how we see people sell out to a dollar. And you notice, Prophetess and I was talking about this, that there are many people who started out in ministry focused on God, focused on the assignment, and you couldn't tear them away. They were crying, they were pleading, they were prophesying and doing everything they could at the very beginning just so God could get the glory out of my life. And then they made it. And then they stopped praying. And then they stopped talking to God. And they stopped worrying about. See, your power and your might, you can't do this. You need him. 18 verse, you shall remember the Lord your God. Jesus brought them back to remembrance. You see that? Hey, I was the one who preached on your boat. I'm the one who told you to launch out into the deep for a catch. When you were going through your, yes, thank you. And when you were going through your training and your process to show you who you are and to remind you that you need to have faith in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. when you got to the place where your faith was failing because you were looking at the wind and the waves, you cried out, Lord, save me. It was my hand that grabbed you mm-hmm. and lifted you up and led you back and set you back in the boat.
Very true.
After you gave that wonderful testimony and I told you of the test and the trial that was going to come and how you were going to respond to it and you told me it ain't going to be like that. And then it was just like that. I was the one who came and said, son, friend, brother. Don't forget, it wasn't your might. It was the power of your hand. Don't forget God. You shall remember the Lord your God. Remember him. Thank God for everything that he's done, everything that he's given you, everything that you've been allowed to do. But don't forget about him. For it is he that gives you power to get wealth. I'm saying that, and I have you to understand and to know I'm not preaching about prosperity. Wealth demonstrates itself in your quality of life.
Uh-huh.
Amen? I'm not talking about gluttony, trying to get more and get more and have more and just be more and get a little bit more. And if you don't want yours, I'm going to take yours too because you can't never have enough. I got to get a little bit more on the grind. Okay, stop. Hold on. You got to learn how to be content with Jesus and what God has given you. And when you are content, then you find out that wealth is in your contentment. Ooh.
Jesus.
Huh? Mm. So I don't have to have a bank that has 6, 7, 8 figures in my bank account and in my net worth. No, you don't. You mean I don't have to be working a job that brings in 6 figures and living in a house that the insurance for the house or the tax for the house can be, a 5 to 7 to 10,000 per half a year or per year. No, you don't have to have a house like that. You don't need, listen, it's two of you. You and your spouse. Y'all, there's no reason. You don't have no kids, and the ones you had, you won't allow them to come around. There's no reason why you need a 7-bedroom, 5, 6, 7-bath house. Because you ain't using all of that. All of that is you just trying to show everybody you could go get it. And after you do it, you sitting there in a big house lonely by yourself. There's a lot of people who have gone off to do all of that stuff who are sad and lonely today. But if you are content with Jesus, you'll find out that you, even though you could do that, you'll find greater contentment in doing for the kingdom of God. What do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. There are people who need resources. They need your help. We have churches and schools and orphanages over in Africa, amen, Pakistan and the like. And while we're dealing with them, they need help. They need resources. You don't need 7 bedrooms when you barely walk in through 3 rooms that you in. I don't go to that part of the house unless I have something. I have people over there. You people break in there and be squatting on it, and you don't even know it because you never go over there. You show up one day, just notice something out of that's odd, and find out people been there for the last year and a half. It's a shame. Just hoarding up stuff. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, amen. Let's go over there, Matthew, the 6th chapter. Huh? Y'all need to see this because all of this stuff, people are running after, huh? Trying to show somebody what they got and how big they are. And all you doing is just you at the wrong place at the wrong time. Your eye is seeing the wrong thing because it's focused in the wrong direction. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where the moth and the rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in. Huh? 21st verse, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, Apostle, you saying I can't have anything?
No.
I'm saying, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is that whatever God gives you and allows you to have, be content with that. Don't be trying to grab, an upgrade and run over. And just, you got more stuff than we got more stuff than we can shake a stick at, yes. And ain't happy with none of it. And I want you to know that stuff ain't going to make you happy. But your relationship, the fulfillment of the assignment that God created you for will satisfy you. That's why in 2 Timothy, amen, the 6th chapter, in 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, the 6th chapter, amen, we see the words, amen, where he says to them, 6 and 6, amen. Mm-hmm. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain.
That's it.
You see that? Mm-hmm. Let's read it in the Message Bible. A devout life brings wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Huh? You see that? Hmm? New Living Translation. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Okay, so I guess my idea of wealth and the world's ideal is different. How about we drop their ideal and get his ideal? Amen. I got a mansion over there, not because the lyrics of a song said so, but because I work on my mansion over there. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've given me. Amen. And we're going to continue to celebrate. Come on there. Go ahead and give us our closing prayer.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now for this word. God, help us to be content with what you have given us. Help us to be content with the assignment on our lives and our destiny. Now, Father, we ask that this word will begin to bring forth, raise up the faith of in their minds and in their spirits. God, we just thank you right now for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Live in my heart. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pray that if you prayed that prayer, that God leads you to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where you can be developed and mature. Now, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you can learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. While you're on our contact page, if you would like a copy of our broadcast or a DVD of the ministry, let us know there and we'll go ahead and get it out to you. All we ask is that you give us help with the cost of getting it to you. We don't put a price on it. which means you can give as much or as little as the Lord puts on your heart. But do the best you can so that we can help and be a blessing to others. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.